Wait.
Kelly Friesen?
Barbara Frankowski?
Hello? Hi, you've got MH International, Elaine, Tiffany, Erem, and Melanie.
Oh, and Wayne, I'm here. Hiya.
And Wayne.
Hello.
Hello.
Everyone is anxious to call. Welcome. We'll wait because there are people logging on. We'll give this a minute or so.
There's Donna here as well. Donna Stevens. Hi.
Hi, Donna.
Hi.
Hello.
This is Kelly, by the way.
Hello, Kelly.
You can hear me. Great.
I can. We have a lot of people logging on today.
Oh, really?
This has been our most popular audio conference yet.
Really?
Oh, interesting.
What people are thinking about U.S. immigration. Well, welcome, everybody. This is Leslie Davis. I'm the Managing Director of Immigration.
Virginia Alenso.
This is our monthly audio conference series. And today we're going to be talking about living and working in Canada, a much more user-friendly immigration system. And because we like to interact at the end of the call with our participants, that we're a little unusual than a lot of law firms that just kind of makes a presentation and that's it, we're going to ask that as you log on, press *6, which will mute your phone and create a real nice, clean, and clear connection for all of us. And if you hear any static during the call at all, please bring that to our attention so that we can all hear what our moderator has to say today. At the end of the call, if you want to ask...
Hi, is Sanjay here?
Oh, hello. Hi. At the end of the call, if you want to ask a question, you can unmute your phone by pressing *6. But as you log on to the phone, if you would mute by pressing *6 right now, we would appreciate that. So without further ado, I think we'll get started. We certainly appreciate your putting us on your calendar today. As I mentioned just a minute ago, I think that the incredible volume of RSVPs for this call is really quite indicative of a lot of disconcerting information that has recently come out of the State Department about what is happening with the visa bulletin in June and July, and that no forward movement really looks like it's going to take place for the remainder of the year, particularly for the EB3 employment third preference category. And several people in our database are considering waiting the process out by going to Canada on a temporary basis. Some individuals are just simply deciding that the United States doesn't really want skilled workers and the best and the brightest, and they're starting to look at the viability of other countries, and certainly Canada is one of them. So there's a lot of focus on Canadian immigration right now. I know that we have a sort of a mixed group today on the phone. We have a lot of individuals that are educated, skilled workers in healthcare and IT that are looking at the viability of living and working in Canada. We have a lot of staffing professionals on the phone as well today that are starting to do business development in Canada. And I'm sure that all of you will find what our moderator has to say about business as well as family immigration very informative today. Just a little bit, just to set the tone for the call, Canada is the second largest country in the world, and a recent Forbes magazine study has named it one of the top three countries in the world in which to do business today. The Forbes study concluded that Canada is one of the most attractive places for investors, professional workers, and entrepreneurs, and certainly this is what is contributing to making Canada a...
Hola.
Hello. Hi. Could you mute your phone if you're just calling in by pressing *6? We're in the middle of our starting our conference, and at the end, you can unmute if you have any questions. Thank you. Pretty much like our aging population in the United States, there are less people to do jobs in Canada, and they have a similar situation transpiring in Canada, but they certainly don't have the population that we have here in the U.S. So I would say that their shortage occupations are even more severe than what we're experiencing right now, that we don't have a system that is accommodating in any way. Immigration in Canada encompasses an ever-growing section of society today, and as their labor shortages increase, the Canadian government has begun to provide some very new and exciting and streamlined programs that we'll be discussing today. In addition, and this is very interesting, every province has implemented its own provincial immigration programs. We won't have time today to get into all of that, but certainly our moderator will be touching on some of the more popular places to live in Canada and talking about that. So with that being said, I'm excited to introduce Ellen DeWitt today. Immigration Solutions is partnered with Ellen, and we're going to be doing U.S. as well as Canadian immigration together, and I'm thrilled about that. Just to tell you a little bit about Ellen, she's a certified Canadian immigration practitioner. She works out of Windsor, Ontario, which is a major border crossing into the USA and a good place to have an office. Ellen is licensed by the Canadian Society of Immigration Consultants. She's been doing Canadian immigration for some 10 years. She's also a commissioner of oaths and has been appointed by the Commission of Ontario to do that, and is a fellow of the Canadian Migration Institute. And Ellen, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Leslie. I just want to be sure I'm coming through loud and clear.
You are. I hear you great.
Wonderful.
And a nice, clear connection. And I'm going to turn this over to you right now, Ellen.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you, Leslie, for the kind introduction. And good afternoon or good morning, ladies and gentlemen. And again, thank you for joining us for our live teleconference. I hope the information I provide to you today will give you a better understanding of Canada and our immigration system. Just as Leslie touched on, I would also like to begin by giving you an overview of Canada. Canada first became a country on July 1st, 1867. We are the second largest country in the world, spanning six time zones and bordered by three of the world's four oceans. Canada is comprised of 10 provinces and three territories, from the southern provinces of Ontario and Quebec, to the Arctic tundra of the Great North, to the Maritime provinces in the east, and to the Rocky Mountains in the west. Our land is diverse yet sparsely populated, with a current population of only 33 million, most of whom reside in the southern provinces of Ontario and Quebec, which is where I am. Canada's official languages are English and French, and our government system is democratically run. Our country promotes itself as a country of peace and is the proud neighbor of the United States of America. What you will be most interested to know is that Canada offers excellent, user-friendly immigration programs for immigrants from all backgrounds. In fact, Canada's goal is to add nearly 300,000 new immigrants per year. Unfortunately, in years past, Canada was unable to meet this goal due to system backlogs. Therefore, as of November 28, 2008, Canada implemented new ministerial instructions to alleviate backlogs and concentrate on finalizing applications for many immigrants in a shorter period of time. I will discuss this further on in our conference. Before I begin with an overview of a few of our immigration programs, I would like to define permanent residency. As a permanent resident of Canada, an individual and their dependents have the right to receive most social benefits, including health care coverage, live, work, and or study anywhere in Canada, apply for Canadian citizenship if you so choose to do so, and, of course, protection under Canadian law and the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms. Keeping that in mind, you would also be obligated to pay taxes and respect all Canadian laws at the federal, provincial, and municipal levels. As a permanent resident of Canada, you and your dependents cannot vote or run for political office, hold certain jobs that have a high-level security clearance requirement, or remain in Canada if you are convicted of a serious criminal offense and have been told to leave the country. Keep in mind that permanent resident status must be maintained by each individual, meaning that in order for an individual to maintain their permanent resident status, they must be physically present in Canada for at least 2 years out of every five-year period. So I just wanted to clarify so you had some background information before I get into talking about the different ways of immigrating to Canada, just so we're on the same page and you understand what I'm talking about when I'm referring to a permanent resident as opposed to a temporary resident who would be, you know, work permit holder or an individual like that. Well, three of the most popular ways of immigrating to Canada include immigrating to Canada as a family member of a Canadian citizen or permanent resident, as a skilled worker, or as a business person. As with any immigration application, keep in mind that although you may clearly qualify under a certain category, you must still be determined to be admissible to Canada, meaning you will have to undergo medical examinations and provide police clearances. I'm going to start off discussing our skilled worker program, which many of you will be most interested in. One of the newest things that's happened with Canada immigration is, as of November 28, 2008, Citizenship and Immigration Canada implemented new ministerial instructions, which now allow, and this is big news, which now allow for skilled worker applications to be processed within only 6 to 12 months, as opposed to several years. Now, persons who would be accepted as permanent residents in this category, it's based on their ability to become economically established in Canada. Three of the things that would cause someone to qualify would be if they have arranged employment in Canada, meaning they have an employer in Canada who is willing to hire them and who has been given permission by Human Resources Social Development Canada to do so, or individuals who have already been working or studying in Canada for at least 1 year, or the most exciting category, people who have at least 1 year of experience in an occupation which is currently in demand in Canada.
Jenny.
Now, we will discuss those occupations in a few moments. Now, keep in mind that although I did say at least 1 year of experience, keep in mind that 4 years or more of experience is preferred. However, depending on your situation, you may still qualify if you have less than 4 years. So I'd just like to give you a brief overview of the skilled worker process. Skilled worker applications are assessed on a point-based system under six factors, with a minimum of 67 points of assessment required in order to apply. The first factor, and you may want to take notes under this section here because I know a lot of you would be very interested in this program. The first factor to consider is your age. Those individuals between the ages of 21 and 49 would receive a maximum score of 10 points, while those over age 49 would lose points for each additional year of age. So we've got a big, you know, we've got a big group in there of people that would actually fit, you know, if you're between 21 and 49, you know you're going to get the maximum score of 10 points. The second factor is education, and I'm briefly going over these. You know, we can discuss more. I'm giving everyone a brief overview just so we can get through all of the information today. The second factor is education. A person with a master's degree or a PhD would receive the maximum score of 25 points, where an individual with, say, a three-year diploma or certificate would be granted 22 points of assessment, And those, which is very common, who hold a bachelor degree would be granted 20 points of assessment. So there's some different scenarios in there of different people who might qualify. The third factor is experience. Individuals with 4 or more years of experience in their occupation would automatically receive the maximum score of 21 points. Unfortunately, for each year less, your score is actually reduced by 2 points. Which is why, you know, I usually mention that if you have the 4 or more years, you're usually in a bit better of a position in order to apply. The fourth factor is language proficiency. This can be proficiency in English or French or a combination of both. A maximum of 24 points can be obtained in this category. Most individuals I find will come in with a moderate to high proficiency in English, and not a lot of people often have proficiency in French. So you usually see a score of about 16, which would be high proficiency in English. Now keep in mind that under this factor, you are required to take an English examination or French examination. It's not the TOEFL. You would be looking at what's called an IELTS. And it's a score for each speaking, listening, reading, and writing. And unless you can provide sufficient supporting documentation, say you've been living and working in an English-speaking country in an English-speaking capacity for a few years, you know, you may be able to get supporting documentation from your employer, even a written statement from yourself. However, it is recommended if you do go for the English examination testing. The fifth factor is arranged employment. This category doesn't often apply to individuals. However, if it does apply, the maximum score of 10 points are automatically granted for those who are currently working in Canada on a valid work permit, or individuals who have been offered a job by an employer in Canada, and in turn, that employer has received an arranged employment opinion from Human Resources and Social Development Canada. So unless you've got an employer or you have someone that's willing to hire you, you're probably not going to qualify under that category. There are people who will, so I did want to mention it. And the final factor is adaptability. In this category, points can be granted to an individual if they have a spouse who is educated, or if the applicant or their spouse has ever previously worked or studied in Canada, or if the applicant or the applicant's spouse has a relative in Canada. And usually that has to be, a parent or grandparent, brother or sister, aunt or uncle. Those types of relationships, it can't be like a third cousin or something like that. It does have to be a direct relative. So just to give, I know that's a lot of information, so I wanted to take a few different scenarios into consideration. For instance, let's take a 45-year-old accountant with 15 years of experience who holds an MBA, has high proficiency in the English language, and has a spouse that holds a 3-year certificate of any kind. Could be nursing, could be anything. This individual would be assessed as follows. Because the individual is 45 years old, they would receive the maximum score of 10 points. Because they hold an MBA, they would receive the maximum score of 25 points. Because they have 4 or more years of experience, they would receive 21 points under experience. And high proficiency in English only would give them 16 points under the language factor. 4 points for having a spouse that holds a 3-year certificate. So adding that up, this individual would receive a total score of 76 points, which is significantly higher than the required points assessment of 67. So this situation would signify a person with a high score. That's someone who's doing really well. For a base applicant, an assessment would look more like this. And I hope I'm not going too fast. Please forgive me. Take into account a 27-year-old nurse with 4 years' experience as an RN holding a bachelor degree in nursing. and he or she is single. This individual would receive 10 points under the age category, which is the maximum, 20 points for education, for holding, a bachelor degree, and 21 points for having the 4 years experience, 16 points for having high proficiency in English, 0 points under arranged employment, and since there is no spouse and no relative in Canada, there would be 0 points under adaptability. This individual still qualifies, but with a score of only 67 points. Now, if you take into the consideration that the individual could possibly get married in the future and include his or her spouse's education to the assessment, a higher score could be achieved. In addition, one may also choose to obtain arranged employment in Canada to boost the score. However, it's not a requirement. Now, between these two, we've got someone who's just barely qualifying with a score of 67, and we've got someone who qualifies greatly with a score of 76. Now, most individuals will fall somewhere in the middle between 69 and 72 points of assessment. Now, I bet a lot of you are interested in knowing, well, what are the occupations that are currently in demand in Canada? Well, with the new ministerial instructions that were implemented in November, Canada Immigration and all the different levels of government in Canada and the different provinces came up with a list of occupations that are severely in demand in Canada. I'm not going to cover all of them, but I will give you an idea of what they're really looking for. Canada's looking for persons in the medical field. This would include physicians, RNs, RPNs, OTs, occupational therapists, physiotherapists. Okay, they're looking for persons in the financial sector, which can include financial managers, accountants, auditors. They're looking for people in certain managerial positions, which would be healthcare managers, restaurant and food service managers, accommodations managers, construction managers, computer and information system managers. We're also looking for chefs and cooks, university and college professors, contractors and supervisors in, say, the piping and carpentry trades, heavy equipment construction. They're looking for electricians, any industrial electricians, plumbers, steam fitters, pipe fitters, sprinkler system installers, welders, heavy-duty equipment mechanics, crane operators. They're also looking for a particular engineers, which would be engineers in mining, geological engineers, petroleum engineers. They're also looking for supervisors and drillers or blasters in mining, quarrying, and construction, and supervisors in oil and gas drilling, petroleum, gas, and chemical processing. So that's a wide range of options there from, you know, you've got the financial sector, the medical field, educational institutions, you've got managerial. There's a lot of opportunity for people to apply under these categories. And keeping in mind that there will be different job titles that qualify under those occupations. Keeping in mind, if you are not in an occupation which is currently in demand in Canada, it would be necessary for you to be currently working in Canada on a work permit or have an arranged employment in order to apply. So basically, if you say, you know what, I don't find myself in any one of those categories, but I have an employer in Alberta who would hire me tomorrow, you know. Alberta is one of our provinces that are really hurting for workers right now. In that case, you could be under any job title as long as you meet the sufficient amount of points. If you have arranged employment, you don't have to necessarily fall under those certain occupations. Okay? Now, with skilled worker applications, I would like to mention some other considerations. Now, applicants must have enough funds to support themselves in Canada upon their arrival. For example, if for one person, this would be around $11,000 Canadian funds, or for a family of four, it would be closer to $21,000 Canadian funds. Now, this does not necessarily...
Ellen, this is Leslie. Could you clarify that a little bit in terms of what is looked at for an applicant to actually be able to evidence that level of income?
Yes, absolutely. When we're talking, when we're talking about funds to support yourself, they're going to be looking at bank statements. So you may have, you know, you may say you have all cash in a bank fund, or, you know, maybe you have properties that you own, your house, maybe you own a business. There's different things that you can own and you can liquidate, as long as you can show the Canadian government that upon your arrival to Canada, you would have enough money to support yourself. It doesn't mean you have to have $21,000 sitting in your bank account. I hope that made it a little bit clearer. If you need any more clarification, you know, we can discuss that directly as well. I want to also mention that when a skilled worker applies under this category, your spouse and your children may be included in your application and also receive permanent residence in Canada. Applicants must all pass language examinations. This is for the main applicant only. For the only, you know, your spouse does not have to go through the language exam. But medical exams and police clearances apply to each person in your family. Police clearances only apply if you're over the age of 18. So main applicant would be required to pass a language exam. Every individual must pass a medical exam. And adults must pass a police clearance check in order to qualify. Those are just a few other things that I wanted to mention that you do have to take into consideration before, you know, really making a decision to immigrate to Canada. Leslie, did you want to, did you have anything else to say about the skilled worker program? You're okay?
You can just continue on, Ellen.
Okay, great. The next area of Canada immigration that I would like to discuss is that of business class applications. Our first program is for entrepreneurs. Now, the entrepreneur program in Canada seeks to attract experienced business persons who will own and actively manage businesses in Canada that will in turn contribute to the economy and create jobs. Applications under this category are also assessed on a points-based system. However, the minimum score is only 35 points in order to qualify. Again, points are assessed under the following factors, and I won't go to them in detail as I did before. Age, education, experience, language proficiency, and adaptability. In order to qualify, the applicant must also be able to demonstrate that they have sufficient business experience, meaning at least 2 years of business management experience within the last 5 years. The applicant must also have a minimum net worth of at least 300,000 Canadian funds. Now, when we're talking net worth, that's basically when you calculate your cash, your business, your properties, when you calculate that, what your base net worth is, that's where that number comes from, okay? Also, the applicant must respect and meet the conditions for entrepreneurs after they arrive in Canada. Now, this includes you would be obligated to owning and actively managing a qualifying Canadian business for at least 1 year of the 3 years following your arrival in Canada, with at least 33.5% in the company. And you would be obligated to hire at least one Canadian citizen or permanent resident employee other than your accompanying family members, and any two of the following. In regards to the net worth requirement, many individuals question whether they actually need to invest this amount into a Canadian business. The answer is no. The amount of investment depends on the type of business you decide to open. You must hold at least 33.3% interest in the company. So if you purchase a business for, say, $250,000, you would be looking at an investment of at least $83,000. Or, on a smaller scale, you may choose to open a small sole proprietor business where you own 100% of the business, but the actual cost to you to open the business is only $50,000. It's going to be different for each individual applying, depending on what type of business they want to open and where they want to locate themselves in Canada. Another category under the business class is for investors. This application process is for individuals who wish to invest directly into the Canadian economy, but not necessarily open a business in Canada. An investment, now this is huge for some people, but you know, it may apply to those of you on the phone. An investment of $400,000 is required, and that investment goes to the Canadian government and is returned to the applicant, although this is the catch, interest-free, approximately 5 years later. Now, in order to qualify under this program, applicants must have at least 2 years of business experience within the past 5 years, and they must have a net worth of at least $800,000 Canadian funds. And again, that's your net worth, okay? Investor applications are also assessed on a points-based system with a minimum score of only 35 points required in order to qualify. Again, points are assessed under the following factors: age, education, experience, language proficiency, and adaptability. Can I just remind everyone, sorry, to mute your phones because we are getting a bit of static and noise there.
Thank you.
This application is excellent for those individuals who do have a significant net worth and who are interested in investing their money in Canada in exchange for permanent residency, but are not necessarily interested in opening a business in Canada. That being said, there are programs for individuals who have the required net worth but are interested in investing a smaller amount of money. However, I ask that you contact me directly for more information if you are interested. Finally, the last category under the business class is for individuals who are self-employed. Although only certain self-employed individuals qualify under this program, it is significant enough to mention. The following applicants qualify under this program: farmers who have owned and managed a farm abroad. They would be expected to purchase and manage a farm here in Canada, okay? And individuals who are cultural, artistic, or athletic. Some of these people, and this may apply to some of you out there today, some of these may include musicians, singers, athletes, journalists, editors, actors, librarians, photographers, and more. The applicant must have at least 2 years of experience within the past 5 years in order to qualify. And again, you know, this is a points-based system under the same factors: age, education, experience, language proficiency, and adaptability. Also under this category, you do need to demonstrate that you have enough funds to support yourself upon your arrival to Canada. The reason why Canada really, you know, wants to see that you have funds to support yourself is there is a transition period. When you come from abroad, even if it's from the U.S., it's, you know, as much as Canada is similar to the U.S., we are different culturally. So when you arrive in any country, there's going to be a period of transition time where you need to settle yourself, get familiar with your surroundings and the area, get yourself established. You're not necessarily, you know, because under these programs, you don't necessarily already have a job waiting for you. What happens is when you come to Canada, you get yourself established, and then you actually have to look for a job once you're here. So Canada wants to make sure that once you get here, you're going to have some funds to kind of be a nest for you once you get here, that, you know, they're not going to have to worry about thousands of people coming into Canada and immediately going on the social assistance program, okay? So that's basically where they're coming from that. So the categories I discussed today are federal programs that allow you to establish yourself anywhere in Canada. Keep in mind that business class applicants are highly desired, and many provinces have provincial nominee programs, which Leslie did mention at the beginning of our call. The provincial nominee program, I'm sorry, could you please mute your phone? Thank you. Provincial nominee program selects individuals for immigration to the respective province, usually in a shorter period of time. There's not enough time today to go into each of the provincial programs. However, you know, please feel free to contact me directly if you have any questions or any particular province that you were really interested in. Keeping in mind, the provincial nominee programs were initially introduced because there was a backlog in the skilled worker applications. They were taking several years to qualify. So that being said, if an individual qualifies under the federal skilled worker program, it's probably going to be most beneficial for you to apply under the federal skilled program, which would allow you to settle anywhere in Canada. Not only that, but the federal program is phenomenally quick right now, processing within only 6 to 12 months. Okay? So I hope that gives you a good overview of the different business applications and the skilled worker application. I did want to also mention, for those of you that may have family in Canada, the Family Sponsorship Program. Basically, I'm just going to briefly touch on it just for any of you that, you know, may qualify. This type of application is where a Canadian citizen or permanent resident files an application to sponsor a parent, grandparent, spouse, child, or adopted child to Canada. Except in the case of sponsoring a spouse or a child, the Canadian citizen or permanent resident who is the sponsor must meet a minimum income requirement in order to qualify as a sponsor. In all cases, the sponsor is required to prove his or her relationship to the applicant, and in the case of a spouse, the sponsor must prove the validity of the relationship so as to prevent persons from marrying for reasons of immigration only. With these types of applications, you would be looking at a processing time anywhere between 3 to 12 months, depending on where your application will be processed. Aside from obtaining permanent residency in Canada, there are also options for temporarily working in Canada. Most employers in Canada are required to obtain a positive labor market opinion from Human Resources Social Development Canada, which is similar to labor certification in the U.S., prior to hiring a foreign worker. However, this is some good news. The following occupations are LMO exempt, allowing them to obtain a work permit much more quickly. We're looking at intercompany transferees, people work, say, possibly being transferred from the U.S. to Canada, religious workers, IT professionals. Now, under IT professionals, we'd be looking at software products developers, telecommunication software designers, software developers, services, etc. Also, live-in caregivers or nannies qualify under this program. So if any of you qualify or are interested in those programs, you know, it's great. In those cases, once an individual has found an employer in Canada that is willing to hire them, the employer is not required to undergo the LMO process, allowing the applicant to apply for a work permit immediately. Work permit applications can take anywhere from 2 to 28 days to process, depending on the Canadian embassy you are dealing with.
Now, Ellen?
Yes?
Give an example, maybe, of an IT professional and a nurse that has an offer of temporary employment in Canada.
Okay.
What steps would each have to go through?
Okay, sure, we can do that. Okay, we'll look at an IT professional first. Say we've got a software developer. Software developer, they have the experience, they have the education, they find, you know, you find an employer anywhere in Canada who's willing to hire you that says, yeah, we want you to start as soon as possible. That is basically, there's two steps. Find the employer and apply for a work permit. The only thing an employer would have to do in that case is provide the applicant with a detailed job offer letter stating when they expect the person to begin, when they expect the employment to end, in what capacity they will be employed in, the duties of the job, and the remuneration that they'll be receiving. Okay?
Right.
Now, if you look at a nurse, there's an extra step. Now, nurses, you certainly qualify under the Federal Skilled Worker Program, but if you're looking to get here quickly on a work visa, there's an extra step in there. Certainly, there are employers looking for nurses to come and work in Canada. So, you know, they're looking abroad now. So if you were to find a hospital or other employer who wanted to hire you here in Canada, the employer would actually have to go through Human Resources and Development Canada, which is, like I said, this is similar to labor certification process, but not near as difficult or as in-depth. Basically, they would have to get permission from the government to hire a foreign worker, meaning the employer, and normally the employer would have a representative working for them on this on their behalf, they would have to show that there is a shortage of workers in that area, which is easy to prove because they've got nurses on, you know, the occupation for highest jobs in demand in Canada. And they need to show that they're going to be paying this individual the same going rate as they would pay a Canadian. Okay, so it works the same as a labor cert. The only thing is it only takes about 4 to 6 weeks. So,
what is the duration of the temporary work visa that would be accorded the applicant?
You would be looking, you could get a duration for up to 3 years, depending on your arrangement with the employer. So they may just want to initially ask for a 1 year work permit for you, or, you know, you could go straight for a 3. But these can be renewed, you know, even if it's yearly or if it's every 3 years, you can continue to renew these work permits, which is great.
Is there a maximum?
No, there's not. And the benefit to that is once you have worked in Canada for at least 1 year, then you automatically qualify as a skilled worker. So, you know, it's beneficial. What I usually recommend is if someone has, say they have only 2 years experience in their field and they're falling a few points short of qualifying under the skilled worker program, if you're a nurse or if you're in an occupation that is in high demand in Canada, find an employer, get hooked in with an employer, get a job offer, come to Canada, start working. Once you've lived and worked here for at least 1 year, that's going to give you 10 points of assessment under the skilled worker program, which is significantly going to raise your score. So, you know, there's a lot of people that may say, you know what, I've only got 1 or 2 years of experience, I'm never going to qualify under the skilled worker program. There's still opportunities to come to Canada, and this is definitely something I would recommend. Now, going back to the labor market opinion for the employer, that could take up to about 6 weeks to obtain, depending on how overloaded Service Canada happens to be at that time. Then you're going to have to take into consideration that the embassy issuing your work permit is going to take anywhere from 2 to 28 days to process your work permit. So you could.
And are they really adhering to that?
You sure?
Right now?
Yep.
They are.
Yeah. They are. They are. It really depends. I mean, it depends where you are in the world and how backlogged your embassy is. So, you know, they could take the full month, or they could be really quick and issue them within a few days. Most embassies ask that you mail in the applications, but some of them do have the opportunity for you to actually come in person, submit your application. And, you know, sometimes you have to go through an interview for them to review your paperwork, or sometimes in certain occupations you may have to go through a medical examination, and those are some things that would take a little bit longer. But generally speaking, you're looking at about 2 to 28 days for a work permit, plus the 6 weeks for the LMO approval. So you're looking at anywhere from, let's say, a month and a half to 3 months to obtain a work permit here in Canada. And most employers here are more than willing to wait that amount of time if they know they have someone who qualifies that can come and take the position. And there's particular provinces. One of the provinces in Canada that's in need of almost every kind of worker is Alberta. They're just really booming out there. And, you know, although the cost of living is a bit higher out there, the job market is amazing. So that might be, you know, one of the provinces.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry?
Yep.
Okay.
Good.
Where was I? So anyway, there's all different scenarios when it comes to work permits or when it comes to permanent residency. So, you know, what I would recommend is to contact me directly or contact Leslie. We'll set you up with, you know, a complimentary consultation and go from there. But, you know, please remember that each case is different and must be assessed on an individual basis, okay? Assessments and consultations are complimentary upon your request, as the information discussed today is really only a brief overview of the respective immigration applications and programs. If you're unsure as to which would be the most preferable method under which you should apply, you know, it would be my pleasure to review your resume to determine if you qualify for immigration to Canada, and if so, under which process you should apply. Lastly, although these are the most popular avenues for immigrating to Canada, you may qualify under another process or application. You know? Yes. And for more information, I'll just put a little plug here, do not hesitate to contact me directly by email. You can reach me at Ellen, that's capital E, and then L-L-E-N, so just my name, Ellen, at DeWitt Immigration, so D-E-W-I-T-T, immigration.com. And I just want to take this time to thank you for your time today, and Leslie as well. I believe we have a short question and answer period to follow, and me I just too. Ask that you please keep your questions general for the benefit of all listening in. If you have specific questions, I would be more than happy to provide you with a private complimentary consultation.
Ellen, thank you so much. Very informative, very interesting.
Thank you.
I think we will open up now
okay.
for any Q&A in terms of what has been covered, or if you have something that, you know, outside of what was covered, you know, we're certainly willing to address that. We've got about 15 minutes left to the call. You'll need to unmute your phone by pressing *6 in order to ask a question. And so this is your time. Please feel free to engage us. Hello, does anyone have
Hello, yes.
Ellen?
Yes.
Yeah, hi, this is Sanjeev here.
Hi.
Hi, thanks so much. I mean, it was really very informative in terms of, you know, what is the process of, you know, coming to come to Canada. So you just need to understand one more thing. I mean, what kind of, you know, fees you people are actually charging in terms of, you know, serving your service? Like, even if it depends on one particular application or different applications, you know, of one weapon of the candidate?
Right, right. Now, it isn't determined by the applicant. It is determined by the actual application under which you're applying. Now, there's two separate
okay.
fees. Obviously, if you're looking to have representation, there is a legal fee to the different, you know, applications and methods of applying for immigration to Canada. However,
Sanjeev, that is something that Ellen will address applicant by applicant, I think, because everybody's
okay. No problem.
may be unique.
Right. But that being said, Citizenship and Immigration Canada, I can let you know that if you're looking at submitting an application, for an adult to submit an application, you would be looking at $550 per adult applicant. So say it's you and your wife and you want to immigrate here, that's $550 each. Now, if you're bringing dependents with you, children who are still dependent on you and under the age of 22, you'd be looking at $150 for each applicant you would be bringing in, okay? That being said, those applications must be submitted to Citizenship and Immigration Canada when your application is submitted to their office, okay? There is another fee, which is called a right of permanent residency, and this is basically a landing tax that the Canadian government does charge. It's $490 per adult who are landing in Canada. Now, that fee can be paid any time during the application process. However, what I normally recommend to people is if you can do it, pay the fees all up front, and that usually does, you know,
motivate them to process your application a little bit more quickly, but it isn't necessary. So that's what you would be looking at application fee-wise.
Okay. Yeah. Good. Thanks so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for listening today.
Thanks.
We're open for questions if anyone else has anything they'd like to ask.
Yeah, what will be the pass mark for IELTS, the overall pass mark?
The pass mark for
IELTS? IELTS or the TOEFL?
Oh, yes. For each category, it's different, but generally you're looking at a score of anywhere from 6.0 and up, depending on whether it's speaking, because they're speaking, listening, writing, reading, and each one of them has a slightly different score, but you're looking at about 6.0 or 6.5 to be considered in the high proficiency.
Very good.
Okay. What about the tax rate?
I'm sorry?
The tax rate for Canada, what would be the tax rate?
Well, the tax rate, see, that's the thing. When you immigrate to Canada, it all depends upon your income. There's the lower class, the middle class, the higher class, and really that would be something that you would have to ask a registered or chartered accountant, because it does go by your income here in Canada. Now, when you're talking about provincial taxes, every province is different. Here in Ontario, our provincial tax is 13%, which includes our two different taxes, GST and PST. So every time we want to pay for a service or purchase an item in Canada, you are looking at a tax of 13% in the province of Ontario. Now, if you're talking about income taxes, we do have, deductions that come off of your employment income, which would include, federal income tax, provincial income tax. You've got employment insurance deductions, which people who work in Canada, if you were to lose your job, there is employment insurance to help you during that transition, and Canada pension payments that you pay as well, because once you've retired in Canada, you do, at the age of 65, you would receive Canada pension payments. So those are some of the normal deductions that you would see.
Are they mandatory? Sorry to interrupt. Are those additionals mandatory, or?
I'm sorry. The CPP.
Are they mandatory?
No, they are mandatory. Yes.
Yes.
And Ellen, okay. do they also deduct for health care?
No.
I would imagine.
Okay. Now,
how's that work?
That's a little bit different. Our health care is provided by the government. So. Each province has their own healthcare system. So in Ontario, we've got an OHIP system. It's an Ontario Health Coverage Program. And basically what they do is when you file your taxes at the end of the year, there is an amount in there that you never really see it. I don't even know. It's really silly, actually. They never had it before, but it was implemented a few years ago by one of our our Ontario Premier. He implemented this silly tax that's in our taxes. So you never actually see it. It's basically included in the federal amount that you pay based upon your income. So I hope that kind of clarifies it, but it's included in your federal income tax that you pay every year off of your, which gets deducted from your payroll.
Right.
So you don't see it as a, health care coverage. You just see federal income tax, and that kind of covers everything.
Ellen, this is Leslie. Are there any new immigration plans and programs on the horizon that might be implemented within the next year that might even enhance some of the things that you touched upon today?
Absolutely. When we're talking about business class applicants, they are really trying to do something to implement new ministerial instructions to get those applicants here quicker. Not only does Canada need physical people here in Canada, but we need people who can invest in the economy, can be skilled workers. These types of people are desirable into Canada. So
right now, you know, it does take a few years to come as a business applicant to Canada. They're really trying to rework the system so that they can do something similar to what they've done with the skilled worker program. But definitely Canada's always looking at new ways to make Canada immigration more user-friendly and just really, you know, try to get the amount of people. Because like I mentioned before, the goal is to have about 300,000 people per year here. And really, Canada falls short of that every year because of backlogs. So really, what Canada's doing is saying, look, what can we do to get the people here that we need here? And, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you're making headway on that, and we're just sort of in the dark ages here in the United States. It's pathetic, but it's wonderful to hear, and that's why it's such a user-friendly system.
Yeah.
I'm particularly with the temporary business visa, that is amazing.
Absolutely. One thing I should make mention of, this might be for those of you who have children who are going off to university or college soon. This is an excellent program for your children. It's called the Canadian Experience Class. Now, I didn't mention this because most of the people listening in today would be applying for permanent residency from abroad, from outside Canada. But if you've got children who are looking at maybe studying in Canada, if someone graduates from a Canadian college or university and they've studied for at least 2 years here in Canada, they would get a 3-year open work permit that allows them to work anywhere in Canada and gain experience working here.
Oh, well, you're not sending them home after you educate them like we do.
No, no. So this is something we want to keep them here. We want to keep them here.
Yeah.
So we give you a 3-year work permit, allows you to work here, and once you've studied for at least 2 years and worked for at least 1 year, you qualify to apply under the Canadian Experience Class, which works similar to the skilled worker program. So, you know, for those of you that say, you know, or maybe you want to come and study, you know, maybe you're, doesn't matter what age you are, you want to come here and you want to study and you say, yeah, I want to be able to work in Canada after I finish my studies. That's an excellent program. Like there's a lot of programs, and that was actually just introduced last year as well. So, you know, Canada's always coming up with new ideas and new ways of helping people immigrate, you know, smoothly and easily here to Canada.
I think we have time for one or two more questions if anyone would like to have any issues clarified or ask.
Is there any countries that you won't accept? Or
any countries? No, there's not necessarily any countries that they would not accept. However, as each person does have to go through specific security clearances and background checks, there are people, for whatever reason, who may have to go through a little bit more stringent process, like they may do an Interpol search or different things of this nature, just to ensure. Let me give you an example. I'm not going to make mention of any names, but there are some countries where, you know, you could pay a small bribe to get a police clearance that says you're free and clear. So, you know, Canada is aware of that and will, you know, it's not beneficial to do that because they will check and verify that information.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, yes. Okay. Well, I want all of you to know that we have recorded this today, which is going to be terrific. It will be up on the website tomorrow. If you go to our recent news page, we now have an area for audio conferences, and you'll be able to re-listen or, you know, bring this to the attention of friends and colleagues that might be interested. Ellen, thank you so much for moderating today.
Thank you.
I'm excited about our collaboration.
Yes.
If you wish to email Ellen again, her email is ellen@dewitt.com. I think most all of you have my email, info@immigrationsolution.net. And please mention to us if you are interested in wanting to pursue this, please mention that you participated in the conference today. And we look forward to helping you in any way we can. We are certainly now geared up to handle U.S. as well as Canadian immigration matters. And if you have any questions offline that you'd like to bring to our attention, feel free to do so. Thank you so much for calling in today, and have a great rest of the day.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.